In his poor but clean and very neatly mended clothes and his heavy wooden shoes, the boy stood as respectfully as if he were before the king. "You're a good boy, a well-behaved lad," said the mayor. "I suppose your mother is washing down at the river, and no doubt you are going to bring her what you have in your pocket. That's an awful thing with your mother. How much have you there?"
"A half pint," said the boy in a low, trembling voice.
"And this morning she had the same?" continued the mayor.
"No, it was yesterday," answered the boy.
"Two halves make a whole. She's no good. It's sad there are such people. Tell your mother she ought to be ashamed of herself. Don't you become a drunkard, but I suppose you will. Poor child. Run along now." And the boy went, still holding his cap in his hand while the wind rippled the waves of his yellow hair. He went down the street and through an alley to the river, where his mother stood at her washing stool in the water, beating the heavy linen with a wooden beater. The current was strong, for the mill's sluices were open. The bedsheet was dragged along by the stream and nearly swept away her washing stool, and the woman had all she could do to stand up against it.
"I was almost carried away," she said. "It's a good thing you've come, for I need something to strengthen me. It's so cold in the water. I've been standing here for 6 hours. Have you brought me anything?"
The boy drew forth a flask, and his mother put it to her lips and drank a little. "Oh, that does me good. How it warms me. It's just as good as hot food, and it isn't as expensive. Drink, my boy. You look so pale, and you're freezing in your thin clothes. Remember, it is autumn. Oh, the water's cold. If only I don't get ill. But I won't. Give me a little more, and drink some yourself, but only a little drop, for you mustn't get used to it, my poor dear child." And she walked out of the water and up onto the bridge where the boy stood. The water dripped from the straw mat that she had tied around her waist and from her petticoat. "I work and slave till the blood runs out of my fingernails, but I do it gladly if I can bring you up honestly, my sweet child." Then came an elderly woman, poorly clad, lame in one leg, and with an enormously large false curl hanging down over one of her eyes, which was blind. The curl was supposed to hide the eye, but it only made the defect more conspicuous. The neighbors called her Limping Marin with the curl, and she was an old friend of the washerwoman's. "You poor thing," she cried, "slaving and toiling in the cold water. You certainly need something to warm you a little, and yet the gossips cry about the few drops you take." And soon all that Mayor had said to the boy was repeated to his mother, for Marin had overheard it, and it had angered her to hear him talk so to the child about his own mother and the few drops she took, because on that same day the Mayor was having a big dinner party with many bottles of wine. Good wine, strong wine. Many will drink more than they should, but they don't call that drinking. They're all right, but you are good for nothing.
What?
Did the mayor really say that, child? Asked the laundress, her lips quivering. So you have a mother who's good for nothing. Perhaps he's right, though he shouldn't say so to a child. But I mustn't complain. Good things have come to me from that house.
Why, yes, you were in service there when the mayor's parents were alive.
That was many years ago. Many bushels of salt have been eaten since then, so people may well be thirsty, laughed Marin. The big dinner today at the mayor's would have been postponed if everything hadn't been prepared. I heard the news from the porter. A letter came an hour ago telling them that the mayor's younger brother in Copenhagen is dead.
Dead?
Cried the laundress, turning as white as a ghost.
What does it matter to you?
Said Marin.
Of course. You must have known him since you worked in the house. Is he really dead? He was the best and kindest of men indeed. There aren't many like him.
Tears were rolling down her cheeks.
Oh, my God. Everything's going around. That's because I emptied the bottle. I couldn't stand so much. Oh, I feel so ill.
And she leaned against the fence for support.
Good heavens, you are ill indeed, said Marin. Try to get over it.
No, you really are sick. I'd better get you home.
But the washing there.
I'll take care of that. Here, give me your arm. The boy can stay here and watch it till I come back and wash what's left. It's only a few pieces. The poor laundress's legs were trembling under her.
I've stood too long in the cold water with no food since yesterday. I have a burning fever. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, help me to get home. Oh, my poor child.
And she wept. The boy cried too, as he sat alone beside the river guarding the wet linen. The two women made their way slowly, the washerwoman dragging her shaky limbs up.